When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and co-host of the podcast Just Between Us.
What a coincidence. I'm Gabe S. Dunn. I'm a writer, bisexual icon, wink, and I'm also the co-host of this show.
Just Between Us is a variety show where we interview fascinating people, play a ridiculous game called Hypotheticals, and talk about things that affect everyone or maybe sometimes just me.
We also do a show called Too Long, Did Read It, which is a show where we scour the depths of Reddit to find the weirdest, kookiest, most upsetting posts and then give our opinions.
So if you're looking for a new show to check out that goes from silly to serious in the same episode, often multiple times,
back and forth from each of us,
you can check out the Just Between Us feed, where we have over 200 episodes waiting just for you.
200 episodes?
I know, we've been doing this a long time.
And they were very funny.
Okay.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh, great. Well, I'm so glad you felt like you'd like to do another one.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always making your way here, checking out the series. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To keep you up to date on your favorite artist and discover some new ones as well, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video version. I'm Kyle Meredith, and today my guest, Howard Jones. We're going to be talking about his album Dialogue. It's the third album in a planned quadrilogy. We'll get into the importance of that album title, what it carries in our current environment, and the polarization of our society, really. He'll talk about wanting to write the most optimistic and hopeful song he's ever written, and his naturally hopeful view of the future. Now, Howard's also going to preview his upcoming tour with Midge Ure, and looks back at their friendship, as well as the 30th anniversary of his album In the Running, which saw him enter the 90s while moving away from his trademark electronic sound. So, let's do this and talk about Dialogue. That's a funny line. It's Kyle Meredith with Howard Jones.
Hi, Kyle.
So here we have Dialogue, and this. So first we have Engage, Transform, which I absolutely loved, and now Dialogue. Did you always envision this as a trilogy?
Yes. There's one more. So I do you call it a quadrilogy? Because there's one more after this called Global Citizen. So
quadrilogy.
Yes, I did. And that's right. And I planned it out. It was supposed to be a 10-year project to do the four albums. And I named them right at the beginning. So I never done anything like that before. Well, I thought it'd be good to set myself a real plan, you know, for the next 10 years. So, I'm getting there.
I mean, it's certainly a way to hold your feet to the fire, I guess, you know, when it comes to it's interesting, though, because, you know, as we arrive at Dialogue, and so you thought of it, these words at the beginning, these titles, but to a certain degree, how much does that have to inevitably speak to the moment that it comes out in?
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, but I think that because I've chosen such sort of universal titles that it was open to do that, you know, that I could really speak of the time with those big subjects, you know, especially like having just, you know, gone through pandemic and people being locked down and the deprivation that we've all felt about not being able to be with people and talk with them and chew the cud and discuss things and, you know, exchange opinions and ideas, you know, that having been robbed of it, it's quite a ripe time to be, you know, talking about dialogue and how important it is. We're so hardwired for a dialogue and communication with each other. And when it's taken away, it's like, oh, wow, there's no, you really miss it. Yeah.
It's interesting because, you know, what that, as I was saying, as you're getting to there too, you know, what that word might have meant when you thought of all of these versus, because you're right, you know, here we are in the pandemic. This is something that you could not have predicted exactly back then. I mean, some people did, but most of us didn't. And then, you know, I thought even that it's sort of, what an optimistic word that it ends up being at this moment, because, you know, even on, you know, when I think of where we are in a lot of the world, where we are, especially here in America, you know, just split, people are split. Like dialogue seems like a fantasy almost to me.
Yeah.
Some days.
Exactly. I think that's why it's so important to be, you know, to be talking about it and for people to be opening up about how they really feel, but also embracing that in others, you know, like, you know, differing opinions. It seems everything's like you're saying, everything's become so polarized. So if, you know, into one camp or the other, rather than trying to find some common ground within that and to, you know, work hard to find that common ground, it's really crucial that we make progress towards that now, because of this polarization. It's really destructive. And you know, talking, discussing, trying to understand people's you know, opinions, even though they may be like really extreme, like, is there some way we can find a common ground here and still, let's just talk about how much we love our children, even that, you know what I mean? So that there's communication going, as long as there's communication going on, and there's, you know, like I went to see Sting recently, and he played, you know, I Hope the Russians Love Their Children Too. And he opened the show with that. And yeah, you know, because we all love our families. Let's find something that we have in common, so we can build on that. You know, we're all on this planet, we have this common humanity. Let's bring it out. And the way we bring it out is by being courageous and having dialogue and not shutting the door on people and saying, I will never speak to you again because you don't agree with me, you know?
Right. How does it have to factor into the songwriting, if at all? Because there you go. You know, that's how we know it speaks to the moment. But as you approach this album and you know what the theme is, do you have to craft the songs around that?
Yeah. Well, it's like a sort of thread running through it. I'm thinking of all the different ways that we that you can illustrate. I think one of the songs you won't have heard before. So I'm thinking, there's a song called "Be the Hero," and it goes. It talks about people hiding away with their and. You know, it feels like they're falling apart. You know, it's close friends, you know, that, you know, they're just falling apart and their lives are just crashing. And the song's saying, you know, talk to me, please, you know, talk to me, tell me how you're feeling so that I can support. I'm not going to prescribe what you need to do, but I can be there with you and support. And it says, I feel the silence breaking us apart. And it's like, when we don't communicate, when we don't have dialogue, you know, people just fall apart and become apart. And so, yeah, so those, you know, those themes are running through most of the songs. It's not entirely obvious all the time, but even, you know, I'm trying to think of, that's such a good question. how do you manifest it? There's loads of references to it in the song, but I'm struggling to, even in the
it's optimistic. That I think that's what caught me off guard too. And it's not that you haven't done optimism before, but you know, like, I believe in you. There's a whole lot of optimism in that statement. Celebrated together is a whole heap of optimism.
With that song, I tried to write the most optimistic and hopeful song I've ever written. Unashamedly, you know, for those look into each other's. Hitting me a lot during the lockdown time was, you know, isn't it amazing to be born as a human being and to be alive and to be able to contemplate the universe and to have this amazing mind and brain that we've all got that is capable of doing these incredible things. You're like, we've got no right to be miserable when we've got this ability to see the sky and nature and each other and the amazing achievements of humanity. And it's really striking me very hard that that's a way to keep positive all the time, no matter how bad things get. And I know, you know, we all have struggles from cradle to grave and that we have to solve and get through. But it's, you know, even the difficult times can be amazing if we look at it the right way. And you know, we're alive, you know, we're capable of this incredible stuff. Let's celebrate that, you know.
You do say one of the most important things you could say in that song, and it ends up being a callback to one of your most famous songs when you say things can only get better.
Yes.
Which I hope is true, by the way, because
yeah. Well, we don't know whether it's true, but I still would stick by it as the best way to go forward, because having a hopeful view of the future and having a hopeful view of the ultimate course of human beings on the planet, it gives us energy to keep going and to keep making a difference. And if we give up on that, then I think that it can only slide. And so having hope running through everything, our general way of living, is a much better way, even if the outcome, you know, I mean, who knows what the outcome will be. But if we have hope, then we've definitely got a chance. If we have no hope, there's no chance.
Well, you know, I'll tie that into one more song too, because Who You Really Want to Be. I mean, that to me, that's the moment of choice, as I hear it anyway. I mean, we all sort of had the chance for a new start post-lockdown if we wanted to. I think people said that at the beginning. I would hope that some people actually did take advantage of that.
Yeah, I wrote these lyrics so recently because I didn't want to write them during lockdown. It starts with actually having a real go at people who do all that horrible stuff on social media and you know, they troll people and they say terrible things, but then they're anonymous and they they don't stand up and say who they are, so it's cowardly and not courageous. And one of the things I really, you know, believe is that I think you're entitled to say things if you're right there in the middle of the fight, you know, sticking your head above the parapet and going, war is bad, or whatever cause it is, you know, that so many great causes, then and because those people will be attacked, you know, they have the right to criticize and have a view. But if you just sit in your room with your computer and just trash everybody, that's just terrible. You know, I really don't like that at all. Yeah, hell of a way to live. It's just really must be horrific to be that person doing that.
Right. I did mention you doing that little callback in Celebrate Together to Things Can Only Get Better. Is that one of the moments that you lean into? Is that a conversation you have with yourself, or is that just one of the things that pops up naturally?
Yeah, no, that's definitely a conversation that I have. I think that, you know, that's why I practice Buddhism, is to try and stay on top of the positive negative swing, you know. I want to be just swinging to the towards the positive, and it's a battle because they're both equally strong, you know. And I think you know, and the more vigorously you live your life, I think the stronger the negative pull will be, you know. So we've got to always win that battle, almost like moment to moment, you know, so we don't slide into the sort of negative world where, you know, there's no hope and things won't get better, you know. So I'm very much, very much dedicated to that.
Well, I'll ask about one more too, especially in the sample that we got, because we, you know, we're hearing these songs. I should bring this up, but the album itself, which I guess was going to come out relatively soon, that's been pushed back though, right? To later in the year.
Yeah. Well, what we're planning to do is release it. I mean, it is going to be available on the tour, and I think we're going to sell it through our own website, you know, because the fans will go mad if we don't let them get hold of it. But then it'll be released sort of more generally. And when I say that, I mean, you know, on the streaming services, which is like so important now. It's like huge, isn't it? And so that will be September. And then, we're trying something different. We're releasing like 5 singles before the album is really widely available. So that's quite interesting, because you get feedback straight away on what, where people are at the moment, you know, what sort of tracks they like and what they don't. I mean, I can't do anything about the album. It's done and it's what I do. So I can't sort of steer it in a different way, because I don't know any other way. This is me, this is what I do. So I hope you like it, sort of thing.
I mean, luckily you're an amazing songwriter. You got that going for you. So a little deep breath right there. That's a little sigh. That's, you know, trust in yourself, or at least I'll put my faith in you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a very insecure place to be, really, though.
Right.
Music, you can't even see it, can you? You know, it's like it all takes place inside somebody's consciousness.
That's true.
It's like, yeah. How do you know how it's going to go down? You never know.
Well, you know, I'll use that as a seg, you know, inside someone's consciousness, because the other song that, you know, I get here early is My One True Love, which, as I read, you know, comes from a nightmare, comes from a dream that you've been able to kind of pull into something else. And I won't speak too much. Why don't you tell the story on that one? Because,
well, yeah, I mean, I have, you know, quite often woken up from a nightmare and sweating and, you know, really terrified, thinking that my dearest, you know, the person closest to me, who I love most in the world, has left me and gone. And I was thinking about, and then it's made me think about, you know, when we love somebody deeply and truly, we kind of give our heart to them, don't we, to hold. And we don't know how it's going to go. They may like it at first, but they may reject it later. And it's the sort of, you put this trust and faith that they are going to like it, but you really take the risk. You really absolutely take the risk of doing it. And I'm pointing out that brings with it this fear of losing it, you know, and that's, obviously, that's quite deep in my unconscious that I have this fear. But we mustn't, just because we do have that, we mustn't stop us giving our heart away if we, you know, because that's what we're like. We're hardwired to do that as human beings. And, you know, to live a life without loving someone or something, or, you know, a group of people, or I don't know, whatever it is, would be a sad, sad thing.
Isn't that interesting, the parallel there, that as a songwriter, you put your art in someone else's consciousness, and as someone in love, you put your hearts,
yeah,
in, you know, it's the letting go, right? Yeah.
That's great. It is. And I in that song, the bit about the dialogue is it says, did we forget to stop and listen and hear the space between the words? So, you know, have a real proper dialogue and conversation together. You know, is that why it all went wrong? Because we stopped listening to each other, and we, and we just forgot. We just took it for granted, and we didn't hear the silent thoughts in between the words, you know.
It's beautifully done. It's seriously is so beautifully done. And you're going to, we talked about, you're going to take these on tour. In fact, you're going on tour with Midger, which.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Midge is, I'm so glad he's coming out with us. He's a really good friend of mine, and I have such respect for him. And as a man, you know, as you know, forget the fact that he's a brilliant musician and artist and made some of the classic work of the 80s and continues to do so. He's just an incredible human being. And it's always great to have friends and people like that around you.
And this is obviously not the first time you all have collaborated before, you all have toured before. I think I was reading maybe the first time was around 89.
Yeah.
So here's the dumb part question part of the interview. Yeah. What's the difference in the backstage between now and when you originally toured together?
Well, we it was across that line tour, wasn't it? When we actually toured together. I mean, he's played on my records. He also, when I did my 25th anniversary, he was a guest on that show, and we did Vienna together. I think it was amazing. So no, I'm just trying to think. What's the difference? I mean,
or the good memories. I mean, you know, this is
I mean, I think that, you know, when I started out, you know, doing this, and we supported like big, you know, big bands, and I always had a bit of a sort of chip on my shoulder about the, you know, the band that was that, you know, the headline band. And actually, I should have been thinking, you should be bloody grateful that they're in favor of having you to play to their audience. You know, you should be the grateful one here, not the blooming complaining idiot. And I really have tried, you know, to people who agree to, you know, to come out on tour with me, I really want to treat them well, and I really want to look after them. And I really want to see them as being precious assets to the whole tour, and be grateful, you know, to them. So this is how I hope it's going to be now, you know. And I mean, Mitch is going to be on our bus and everything, so it's going to be so great.
Oh, that's great. I was going back and listening to some of the older songs in your catalog, and I landed on the In the Running record. You know, it's celebrating 30 years this year, and Midge is on there too, as I understand. And
yeah,
you know, it's such an interesting part. Falling Away is such a good song, and when you look back, knowingly moving away from electronics at the time, and you know, was that a natural progression, distancing yourself from, you know, the era before? Like, what led into that record? Because it's a beautiful record.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for saying that. I just wanted to experiment all the time, you know, with different things, and try and get better at working with non-electronic music and working with players and musicians. And, you know, it's always been trying to do something, you know, different, even though the fans probably would prefer me just to stick to my, I know that. But I think they've got used to me, you know, doing these different things now. And because I think the way I'm viewing it now, Kyle, is that I've got these different strands to my work. So I've kind of worked it out. This is what is much better for my mental health. If I go, right, this is the electronic strand of what I do. This is the more acoustic songwriting strand. And then there's the third strand, which is my piano compositions, which I've got ready to come out sometime soon. And if I stick with that and not try and mix them all up, which I always used to do in the past, and make it was very eclectic mix, that helps me to get, you know, get the work done. And also, you know, people, you know, my wonderful fans, you know, I have to think of them too, you know, what they would like. So that's helping me now.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely love what you do. Count me in one of those many, many fans. And
thank you.
Yeah, and Howard, congratulations on Dialogue. This is such a great next step. I'm looking forward to eventually hearing that fourth one too. So,
thanks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time to talk about it today. And we'll see you around.
It's a total pleasure speaking with you, and I really appreciate you doing the interview. I really do. Thank you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I also spoke with Howard back in 2019. This is when we were talking about the second record in a four-part series that focused on where we are as a society and how we safely come out of the other side. In this interview, we hear about technology, both in the sense of how it helps and hurts us, as well as his love of it to progress his own music. We also hit back on some of his older albums as well, Cross That Line from 1989, Working in the Back Room from 94, and 2009's Ordinary Heroes as well. So let's do this one, part two, Kyle Meredith with Howard Jones.
Hi, Kyle. It's Howard here. Yeah. How are you?
Let me congratulate you on Transform. What a fantastic record that you've got here. And as I read, so this is part two in a four-part series, right?
Yes, that's right, yes. I set myself like a 10-year plan, and the first was Engage, which was sort of like, you know, we need to stand up and get involved and not be bystanders. A Transform is about taking responsibility for things oneself. So, you know, if we want to change the world for the better, then we have to start with ourselves. So that's what Transform's about. And then next one is going to be Dialogue. And then the last one is going to be Global Citizen.
A 10-year plan right there. That's interesting way to do it, because I think a lot of artists would have probably just thrown this all on one record somehow and made, you know, a little epic out of it. But seeing that far ahead, do you feel like, I mean, does that take the weight off your shoulders of trying to come up with something? And also, does it kind of lock you in place as to what you have to write towards now?
Yeah, I mean, it gives you a feeling, you know, and also, you know, already I'm thinking about the next one and the one after that, about, you know, how I'm going to do them and what form I'm going to take. And it just gives you a sort of sense of, you know, a journey that you're going on. It's an ambitious project that challenges me, you know, to keep working and to keep focused.
Well, it's obviously a very relevant concept that you're tackling here, and it might be an obvious answer, but why did you pick this kind of concept?
Well, you know, I feel that I want to make the most valuable contribution to my world, really. And I'm a musician. I've been very fortunate to be in this position where I can make records and I can release them, and there are people who, you know, want to hear them. So I want to take that really seriously and make sure that the work is of value to people, you know, and it's inspirational and encouraging and thought-provoking. And I think that's what art should do, you know. I'm taking that really seriously.
So with Transform, do these musically, do they change for you? You know, so you've got the concept lyrically and thematically. Do you tackle that in the same way musically, album to album?
I mean, I like the idea of the music reflecting, you know, what the subject matter is. But I mean, I can't really say how the music does that for Transform. It's just a really good platform for the lyrics, you know. And, you know, songs like, you know, Beating Mr. Neg, which is, you know, about the, you know, the negative voice that sits on our shoulder and really wants to stop us doing, you know, what we're capable of and taking away our confidence. And, you know, I really want to talk about those things that affect everyone. They certainly affect me, and I'm sure they affect everyone else as well. And, you know, the music is a really good platform for me to say those things.
Yeah, I'll take some of the song titles here too, because with a concept like this, you could have gone dark and we're all doomed kind of a thing, but you know, Take Us Higher, Transform, Beating Mr. Neg, Eagle Will Fly Again. I mean, it feels like you've got some good optimism going on here.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is my, you know, my philosophy of life, I guess, you know, to be hopeful about the future. It's absolutely no point in being doom and gloom about it, because nothing is ever going to change. And you know, I just believe that whatever problems and difficulties that we face, that you know, as human beings, we have the resources to turn it round. And if we don't have a hopeful view of the future, we'll never be able to have the energy and determination to do that. You know, I decided sort of long ago that was going to be my philosophy. I was going to believe that things could be better. You know, things can only get if we decide, and it is a choice.
Well, I love how you've written it in here in any way. And I fall in love with these songs so quick too. I'll bring up one of the, you know, the pre-release singles here with The One to Love You. Big fan right away of this one. What I noticed though, musically, it's a very modern sound, because if you hadn't told me this was a Howard Jones track, and maybe you said this was the new Washed Out or Toro y Moi or something like that, I think I would have believed you.
And The One to Love You was the first collaboration that I did with BT. So, you know, he brings his massive skill set to that track. And, you know, he's from a younger generation than me. You know, he's sort of an electronic pioneer in his own right. And so I've always been a huge fan of his. So that was just a perfect collaboration, really, for us to work together.
That sound, you know, in the past decade, you know, at least since you've started with this, you know, new series and everything, you know, the synth sound has a very strong footing these days once again in every part of the thing, you know, and I don't know, do you keep paying attention to that? Are you watching a lot of these artists that are citing you as influences?
I'd like to say that I do, you know, huge amount of research, but I don't really have time to do too much of that. I mean, I keep up with what's going on. You know, I listen to the radio. I listen to Spotify. I listen to the new releases. But I also listen to classical music and, you know, choral music. And I really am just kind of doing what I do. And I think it's important to keep up with technology of our times and be able to use it and put the, you know, effort into using. And then you kind of, almost by accident, you know, sound more contemporary because you're using, you know, you're sort of kind of keeping up. I mean, I believe that technology has always driven music forward. You know, I mean, when you go right back to, you know, the harpsichord, which had no, you know, just like there was one volume, you know, each time you pressed a key. That evolving into the piano, you know, primitive pianos, which then again evolved. And as a result, musicians grabbed onto that and they created, you know, amazing work as the technology developed. And I just feel that, you know, it's a principle that's been going on since, you know, since people stretched a piece of string across a piece of wood. You know what I mean? It's like, I think technology has always driven things forward, and so I think it's important to use the technology of your time. And you know, it certainly is for me. You know, I mean, we're the first people to be able to use this, so we really should, you know, embrace that.
Yeah, well, it is great how it kind of lines up like that. As you said, you know, using the technology kind of makes it sound modern in itself, but to sound so in sync with what's happening, you know, in pop culture, I guess. I mean, it's a nice bit of luck. I don't know what it is.
It's certainly not intentional. I mean, I just do what's instinctively right for me, you know. I don't have a theory or a practice that enables that to happen. I am a man, you know. I hope that I'm a man of my time, you know. And sort of in the broader context, I sort of believe that, you know, technology is going to be the thing that we can, if we use it, you know, in the right way, then we can solve the problems, that the massive problems that we've got. You know, if we do, you know, I mean, you know, human beings are incredible at developing new techniques and solving problems. And, you know, if we put it to the right use, you know, we can, you know, technology can save us from extinction.
Is that interesting, though, because it used to be the sci-fi writers who would warn us about technology, you know, in sort of a way that it was going to be the doom. And I think we see that, and I'm sure you probably see that as well, as we get sucked into social media on our phone and all of our heads are down, you know, that's the one way. Yeah. But to try to find that right way to make it save us, I'm on board with you with that.
Yeah, everything has its sort of negative aspect. Technology can be used to make nuclear bombs, or it can be used to, you know, power the world. And it's our choice. You know, it's always going to be our choice. So which way do we want to go? Nothing in itself is intrinsically bad. It's just our choice as to how we use it. You know, are we going to use it for the benefit of everyone, or are we going to use it to, you know, dominate others? You know, it's those choices that that's what Transformers is about. You know, it's about choosing the hopeful, positive outcome and not succumbing to, you know, negativity and doom and gloom.
Somewhat interestingly, you just came off of an acoustic tour, right?
Yeah, yes.
So here stripping that technology of all of these songs. But it says a lot about these songs still hold up beyond the electronics that they're known for.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I am sort of, you know, my great love is you know, is songwriting and structure and chord changes, you know, transitions into other sections, surprises. That is my absolute passion, you know, sort of probably even more than the sort of, you know, synth side of it, really. It's how songs work and how chord changes make you feel and, you know, transitions into other sections. This is my passion.
Do you ever feel like it gets weighted down, like that you have to speak towards a certain sound because of what you're known for?
No, I don't really. I knew that the fans wanted me to make another synth record because because I've got really nice fans, you know, don't give me a hard time. But I felt this sort of gentle encouragement to make a full-on synth record again. And I was really in a mood for doing that, you know, so those two things coincided well. But, I mean, I can only really do what I do. You know, I'm Howard Jones, and I make my music the way I make it. I can't really contrive beyond that anyway, you know. It's not possible.
And thank goodness, by the way, I'll say as a fan. I want to wrap up here with a bit of a lightning round, if you're up for it, because three of your records celebrate big round anniversaries this year. And I don't know, just kind of get a quick thought. What comes to mind, you know, when we bring some of these up, if you're good with it?
Yeah.
We'll start with the 30th anniversary, because Cross the Line, you know, released in 1989 and gave us Everlasting Love and The Prisoner. What's the takeaway these days with that record for you?
Well, those two tracks you mentioned, you know, I still play a lot out live, and I think that's a couple of my best tracks. You know, I worked with Chris Hughes, who is a really good friend of mine, who produced those two tracks, and he, you know, he worked with Tears for Fears and, you know, those amazing records with them. I'd always wanted to work with Chris, and I got to work with him on those two tracks. They still stand up really, really well today. You know, it was me experimenting with a few things, you know, brass sections and brass arrangements. My career has been, you know, trying new things and trying to evolve as an artist, as a musician, as an arranger, working with groups of people, other groups of people. And, you know, I think Cross That Line was a good example of that.
And then you head into 1994 with Working in the Back Room. Mm. This was your first self-released one, right? Right on Detox. And you went on to sell over 20,000 on your own pre-internet. This was before you could get on there and really market that way. I mean, that's this record had to be a big moment for you.
Well, I'd done my five albums for Warner Brothers, which was the contract, and they didn't want to give me a new deal, which was a bit of a shock, really. And I kind of devastated for about 6 weeks when they didn't want to renew the contract. But then I suddenly realized it was my chance to really carve out my own, you know, destiny and career and do everything independently. You know, the internet was just emerging at that time. And, you know, we started booking tours ourselves and making the albums ourselves and just taking the reins of everything. And to be honest, I've really, really enjoyed that. That has been like the best thing that happened to me in a way, because it's really brought out all kinds of sides of my character that I didn't really know were there. And, you know, it's helped me develop as a person. So, you know, I mean, being in the driving seat, you know, of your career and your work is fun, actually. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult and hard, and you have to work much harder. But, you know, you really feel like it's yours. You know, this is what you've done. This is what you've created. And, you know, there's a great feeling of fulfillment that comes with that.
It says so much too, because especially in that era, you know, around 94, in the 90s, when major label meant everything, when artists would get dropped, it would almost be like they felt like it was the end of their career. I mean, so many, if they didn't hang it up forever, they hung it up for a long time, you know, and for you just to kind of pull through that and produce such a great piece of work, like Working in the Back Room, I mean, that's huge.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, very quickly as a response, really, I guess. So, right, I'm not going to be put off by this. And I didn't even record it onto multitrack. You know, it was all coming out of the Mac SE and was mixed down to stereo. And that's it. I can never go back and remix those tracks. It was very much of the moment. This is what I'm into at the moment. And there's a kind of energy there that in that record, I think that it, you know, really reflects where I was. I was just my fighting spirit was coming out, you know. This isn't going to stop me from doing what I do.
Well, that brings us to Ordinary Heroes that turns 10 this year as well. And this was a very different record, right? I mean, this is a very quiet record for you.
Yeah. I wanted to just focus on a simple lineup, you know, of like, you know, piano, vocal, backing vocal arrangements, guitar, string quartet, and bass, and drums, and stick to that plan. And really, you know, because you actually have to work, I think you have to work harder to create interest when you've just limit yourself to those few instruments. And I really, really enjoyed that. And it is a very special record for me. And, you know, I mean, I know it's got no synths on it. But, you know, I'm still really proud of it as a, you know, piece of song, you know, songwriting. Howard Jones, a songwriter, you know, singer-songwriter.
No, it is a great point in the catalog, and again, just goes to prove, much like the acoustic tour, you know, what you can do beyond, the expectations, you know, that's...
You know, I mean, I really enjoyed doing those acoustic tours, because basically it's very straightforward. I can play the piano until, you know, I mean, I don't even hardly have to think about it, because I've been playing it since I was seven, you know, it's like walking and breathing. So I don't, you know, it's just really enjoyable. And then this tour I'm doing now is an absolute nightmare of technology and complexity and so many things that can go wrong, so many things that have to be addressed and new things you have to learn. I don't know why I keep doing that to myself. But I guess when you hear it, you know, in its finished form, it's like it is very, very, you know, it's very exciting. And it is feels like a hell of an achievement. So, and also, you know, you really are using the, you know, the technology of the day, and you're taking a risk. And whereas, you know, when I'm doing the acoustic shows, it's not so much of a risk for me, you know. It's really kind of fun and enjoyable. The electronic stuff is like, wow, you know, I've got to really get my head down and wade through the problems.
Now, is this new tour? Is it like the multimedia side of things as well? Are you working all that in?
Yeah, we've, you know, constructed a whole set of visuals that go with everything that, you know, have been, you know, really carefully thought out. And, you know, there's contemporary dance in there. There's, in fact, there's lots of people in the videos. It's not like sort of abstract art. It's very sort of human based, and we've done a lot of filming. And yeah, I've tried to make it complementary to the show, because I've found that when I go to shows where, and I've been guilty of this as well, where it's basically a video through the whole show, and it's totally distracting. And it sort of takes you away from the actual what's happening. You've got an artist in front of you. And so what we try to do is sometimes there's nothing on the screen, and there's just one element that will be, relevant to what I'm singing about. And we've really tried to be careful about that this time. So, it's all learning, learning process, trying to get it better all the time.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what that looks like and sounds like with this. Yeah. Howard Jones, thank you once again. Congratulations on Transform and this whole big epic that you're working on right now.
Yes, I hope I survive. Okay, no, thanks very much, Kyle. It's been really great speaking with you. Really great.
Same here. Definitely an honor. Take care, and we'll see you out on the road.
Okay, thank you. All the best. Bye now. Bye.
And my thanks to Howard Jones. Again, the new record is called Dialogue. Big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at all the usual spots that you can procure your podcast. That also includes YouTube for the video versions. After that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them, at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Oh, great. No, great. Fantastic. That's great.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.